Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we've moved into our new location in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between 164 and Highway F. We're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, kitty corner from Winkies. And it's been really nice over this winter, but of course it's been so beautiful here in Wisconsin that we can service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. My guest today is one of my dearest friends, but also one of my favorite guests to be on the show because he has so much to share. And it's the things that we don't normally talk about. And Dan presents it in a way that we can hear him and we can get something out of it. My guest today is Dan Burris, and he is a leading futurist. He's a strategic advisor, disruptive innovator, expert. He's also a keynote speaker and author of 7 amazing books. And what he talks about is turning disruption and change into opportunity and advantage. Isn't that something that we all would like to know more about? Welcome to the show, Dan.
Hey, thank you so much. And I've been to your location out in a Pewaukee area, your new one, and it's really nice. I hope people get a chance to see it.
Thank you so much. You know, Dan, before we had the our call today, we talked about what are the things that are really important to identify. And you came up with the speed of change. And that really came from the fact that I said, wow, things are moving so quick in my life. And of course, new opportunities out there, AI, another big topic, and cybersecurity and how to protect ourselves. So why don't you jump right in and talk about the speed of change? Because both of us went, yeah, it is crazy.
Well, let's start with the fact that we live in an increasingly technological world. But what is really always important for us to frame everything up in is that we live in a human world, and it's all based on relationships. And of course, there are good relationships and bad relationships, and the best relationships have high levels of trust. So one thing you want to do is always maintain high trust. As a matter of fact, if you can elevate trust, better yet. So I just wanted to frame it up because we will talk about technology. We do live in a human world. And as it relates to the speed of change, well, we all know that Moore's Law has been around for many, many, many decades. As a matter of fact, I met Gordon Moore probably 35 years ago, and that is that processing power, now we're talking about the power of a computer, doubles every 18 months as the price drops in half. That was true for many, many, many decades, driving exponential change. It isn't 1 + 1 = 2. It's 2 becomes 4 becomes 8. Which is a slow curve in the beginning, but it gets really fast. So two things have happened that have made exponential change go beyond exponential recently, beyond exponential. And that is, first was the pandemic. And it's maybe hard to remember all the way back to 2020. But in the beginning, when we first had the pandemic, we did not know about how we knew that virus was deadly. We knew it spread by air, but we didn't know that much about it. We had no cure for it. We had no vaccines. So globally, we shut down. You might remember the streets were pretty empty. And what happened is technology exploded. I mean, we could have gone shopping on Amazon before, but now everybody was shopping and doing e-commerce on everything. But we also had what? Doctors. What were they doing? They could have used virtual meetings and virtual office visits before, but of course they didn't. But now, hey, that's what they were doing. You had to do a e-patient view first so they could see if you really had to come in. And of course, with teachers, they could have used video conferencing long before the pandemic. Of course, they didn't. Now they had to because the students were staying home. I won't go through it all, but there's over 20 major technology categories that accelerated almost 10 years in 1 year. And that was back then. And by the way, when you have beyond exponential acceleration, you have beyond exponential opportunities. But then something else happened. And that is in early 23, actually, it started in November of 22, ChatGPT came out. OpenAI released it. And what happened? Whoa, another beyond exponential jump, even beyond the one before that, driving change faster and faster. Because, of course, what they did is they made it available free and global. And of course, people, it was the fastest growing software ever. And of course, we know today, and we'll talk more about AI a little bit later in the program. But what I'm getting at is, if you don't like change, you're not going to like the future, because you're going to get even more change. And that's one of the reasons, whether you're a retiree or thinking about retiring, an investor, a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, regard or a business owner or an entrepreneur, I want us to not just be reactionary, trying to keep up with the pace of change, because guess what? You won't be able to. What I want us to do is to be anticipatory versus reactionary, anticipating problems before we have them so we can pre-solve them, anticipating disruptions before they disrupt so that disruption becomes a choice. And as you know, Karen, from previous shows, I've got a methodology that teaches people how to do just that. So how do you make change your best friend? Understand there are ways of looking into the future and separating, I'll call it the wheat from the chaff, those things that we can see, those things we do know will happen, versus those things that might happen, because it's a lot more than death and taxes.
You know, Dan, I want to go back to just one thing you said in the very beginning, that we're a human world, and that really what the glue to all of it is relationships. What is the impact technology has had on building relationships? Because I was just out to dinner with my three grandkids the other day, and they all had their phones on, and I asked a question, and it's like nobody registered. And I'm wondering, in general, with technology, is it's making it so easy to be disconnected. What is the impact for people in business and personal lives? How can we relate to that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it isn't just the young kids. I actually went out to dinner recently at a very nice restaurant, and there was a table of six very close to where I was sitting, and the youngest person there had to be at least 80. I mean, they were, and guess what? They were all on their phones. They weren't talking to each other. They were all on their phones. So it's not just young kids. Let's understand. We're all getting way too connected. These are very addictive devices, and they're designed to be addictive. And of course, one of the reasons we have so much division, whether it's political division or ideological division, one of the reasons is, of course, social media. Because 85% of the people get their news from social media, and anybody can create any kind of news they want. Matter of fact, if it's incorrect news, research has shown more people will read it because it's the goal of all social media is to get you to stay on the platform as long as possible. And what you do is you take something that you're worried about or afraid of, and you turn that with just a couple of little tweaks to a news story into being anger. And then you can tweak it some more and turn it into hate. By the way, if you're angry, you'll stay on the platform even more, especially with your other people that are angry about the same thing, even if it is about something that's not happening. And then if you can elevate it to hate, better yet. So who's doing this? It's the algorithms. It's the AI in all the social platforms that know they make more money the longer you're on the platform. So it's designed to feed you all the eye candy and all the cool stuff that gets you to stay there and be glued. So what's my advice? Turn it off a lot more often. Turn it off. Check your news sources. If your only source of news is the internet, you can assume, I don't care what party you're with, if you're in the United States, assume it's probably got some slant to it. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. You got to check your sources. You better look at two or three sources. Why? Because of what you said in the beginning, Karen, and what I talked about, and that is trust is a key. And if we want high levels of trust, we have to make sure that we're vetting the information that we're sharing, if we're going to be sharing anything. And just kind of a philosophical standpoint, and that is, wasn't that long ago, just before social media got big, the enemy was not your neighbor. The enemy was other countries, China, Russia. They were the bad guys. Now the enemy is us. And is that really the future that you want? And I would suggest, no, that's not the future we want. My dad fought from the beginning of World War II to the end of World War II, and he was defending the United States, not the divided states of America. So I think we just have to realize we have a lot more in common than and trust and truth need to be at the center. I know I got off on a little bandwagon there, but
I think it's important
things for us to think about, because hate is very addictive, but you know what the most powerful force on the planet is? It's love. So yeah. If we love a little more and are angry and hate a little less, you know what? We'll have a much better world.
And if we look for what's right and not for what's wrong, it'll also be better.
Yeah. And use your inner compass for that.
Yes. My guest today is Dan Burrus. If you'd like to know more information about Dan, you can go to burrus.com, B-U-R-R-U-S. He, as I said earlier, is a keynote speaker. He's an author of 7 books. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. Let's talk about, in just a few minutes, new opportunities. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dan Burrus. He's always one of my most precious guests to have on, because the things he talks about are exciting. They're innovative. They're things that maybe deep inside somewhere we kind of know about it, but he brings it right out there and puts it right out in our face, and you can't ignore it. Again, Dan Burrus, and you go to burrus.com. Dan, let's talk a little bit about the new opportunities. We talked about some of the things that are going on. This, you called it experiential change. How is that going to land on all of us?
Well, right now, there is more opportunity than any other time in human history to not just change, but to truly transform every product, every service, every function than ever before. And we have to look at the tools that used to be expensive and difficult to get a hold of, and you had to be a big company. And now many of those tools are free. So one of the ways that I help people to understand this is, as you know, I've been studying trends now for 40 years. Holy cow. And all trends are either what I call hard trends based on a future fact that will happen, or they're a soft trend based on an assumption that may or may not happen. For example, we went from 3G wireless to 4G wireless to 5G wireless. Well, is that it? No, next will be 6, followed by 7. And the stock market will go down, down, down to 0 and stay there. No, it'll go down, it'll go up. And by the way, it'll go down again. Those are cycles. So there's hundreds of known cycles. But technology comes along and does something a little different. That's where this technology-driven exponential change comes in. Because once you get a smartphone, you don't go back to the dumb phone. Once people in China park their bicycle and get a car, they don't go back to the bike. So we have these permanent exponential changes that are taking place, and we want to just pay attention to those. So when it comes to opportunity, one thing you have to ask yourself is this a... this thing you're looking at, whatever it is, a hard trend that cannot be stopped and actually is getting more powerful. And if it is, what is the opportunity for me? What's the opportunity for my organization? If you're a nonprofit or whatever you are, or a bank, what is the opportunity? Or if you're retired, what is the opportunity? For example, you may not like AI and wish AI would go away. Well, as a futurist with a track record of being right, I can easily say it's not. As a matter of fact, it's getting exponentially more powerful. The key is, how are we using it to shape a better tomorrow? How are we applying it? So whether it's AI or blockchain or any of these other technologies that you read about, it is how, it's not the tool, it's how you use the tool. And by the way, all of it can be used to do very bad things. And we'll talk about that maybe later in this interview. However, I would suggest, Karen, that the people that are on this show right now, including you, we're all really good people, I think. And I can't stop bad people from doing bad things, but I can protect myself. We'll talk about that later. But what I want all of us good people to do, regardless of our age, is to think about how can we use tools to do amazingly wonderful things? Because, like I said, there's more opportunity to do amazingly wonderful things than ever before. You don't even have to know how to program anymore to create software. You can create a website with an app right now. And if we can talk about that a little bit more, maybe in another section as to how you could even do that. You want to create a mobile app and you got an idea for it, but you're not sure how to do it. Well, there's an app that can create the mobile app for you. I mean, the ability to create something new, regardless of your age, is powerful, very powerful.
It's almost frightening.
Well, it is if it's all unknown. See, if everything is uncertain other than death and taxes, oh my God, it looks horrible. But if you realize, wait a minute, there's a lot more than death and taxes. Actually, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things we can be absolutely certain about. I write about them. I've written thousands of blogs and articles, 7 books. I've been right about it over the decades. And again, instead of me just saying, hey, I'm cool, I can be right, what I do is teach other people how to do that through my books and articles and newsletters and things like that. Because you know what? Anybody can separate those hard trends from those soft trends. Because what that does is it gives you certainty in an uncertain world. And when you're uncertain, you don't make bold moves. You hesitate. You hold back. But when you have certainty, you have the confidence to make a bold move. I think we need a little more certainty in this world than not get stopped by the fear of all the uncertainty that's out there. One other little thing I want to point out. I travel all around the world, as you know. I've given speeches in over 50 countries. I was just in Dubai speaking a few weeks back, for example. And everywhere I travel around the world, you know what? I get even more excited and optimistic about the future for two reasons. Number one, there are a lot of young, bright bulbs out there all over the world. Now, of course, there are some dim bulbs, but there are many, many, many bright bulbs, young people that are going to make a positive impact on this world. And we can solve any problem we've got. The tools already exist. And there's a lot of smart people that are going to make that happen. And number two, if you would ask me, am I an optimist? I would say, well, yes. Why? Because pessimists never do anything. Why? Well, they know it'll fail. So, of course, you have to be an optimist if you're going to shape the future, if you're going to create something new. If you're a pessimist, you already know it's doomed and don't even try. So if you tend to be a pessimist, how is that working for you? Probably not too well.
You know, Dan, you talked about all these bright bulbs that are going to make an impact on the world. And I know you and I have had many conversations about retirement, and you're not retiring. I mean, how do you retire from who you are? And I'm not retiring. And in so many ways, I've never been better at what I do. But so many people retire and they leave that knowledge stored away and they don't use it. And when you're talking about these bright bulbs, there are so many retirees, people who are looking to the future that have so much information. They could be creating things like crazy, and yet they're not. And what I see a lot of people doing is slowing up, and they don't walk as if they got anywhere to go.
Right, right. Well, you know, as you get older, and you can define what that means, it being of service to others is extremely powerful. And if you're only serving yourself and you're only thinking about yourself, you're in a little cocoon and a little, and you know what, it's kind of gets kind of hollow in there. But if you find ways of helping others, I know you've done that, I've done that. And I think the people that are more alive as they get older, you know, I would rather wait until I'm dead before I die.
I love that.
And I've seen the Walking Dead walking around. They, you know, they have that look, you know, and it's because they've kind of given up or they've decided I'm old. I mean, I know people that are 50 that have decided they're old. I know people that are 60 that have decided they're old. I know people that are 70 that have decided, but I also know people that are 80 and 90 that are looking at, you know, what are you looking forward to? Well, maybe someday I'll get old, but I'm not now. So Yes. What is your definition of old? And is that you? And by the way, if you don't like that, you can change it. You can change that. And as I suggested, one of the ways of doing it is being of service to others.
I love that. My guest today is Dan Burrus. You can go to Burrus, BURRUS.com. He is a leading futurist, strategic advisor. I love the idea of disruptive innovation expert. And I think we should talk a little bit about the whole idea of disruption. And we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Dan Burrus, and we've been having some very exciting conversations, and we ended the last segment on disruption. And one of the things, Dan, that you always say is turn disruption and change into opportunities and advantages. How do you define disruption?
Well, let's think about it. Disruption happens to you, causes you to crisis manage. That's the way we see it. But does Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, does he see disruption as negative? And the answer is, well, no. It's all the people that his company is disrupting. They are the ones that see it because now they got to change. They got to do something. They're forced to change. But what I'm saying is all of us need to become what I call positive disruptors. Notice I put the word positive there. What is a positive disruptor? They are creating the transformations that need to happen to increase your relevancy. And if you're a business, to like accelerate innovation and growth. If you're an individual, it is to increase your relevancy and build a better future for yourself and others. By the way, if you're only building it for yourself, you're missing the power of abundance. You need to build it for others as well. So I want us all to be positive disruptors. Why? Because today you're either going to be the disruptor or the disrupted. There's no middle. Well, given the choice, I'd much rather be a positive disruptor than being just disrupted all the time. And you're either going to be more relevant or less relevant. You know, if your kids and grandkids aren't paying any attention to what you have to say, they're viewing you as irrelevant. What could you do to change that? By the way, let me give you a tip right now. If you are not using, let's say, ChatGPT, AI, you need to do that. I bet a lot of you still aren't. And I would say you don't get it if you don't use it. And you can get it for free. Go to chat.openai.com, get a free account, and start playing with it. By the way, you'll see, holy cats, you'll get an idea of what this can do. I'll give you a quick example. I had a friend over. She's a therapist with a PhD, and she treats people, gives counseling to first responders. So we're talking about fire and police who've been through a traumatic experience. You can imagine if there's a big accident or a plane goes down and they see a lot of bad things, they get some trauma there. So that's who she's been counseling her whole life, and she had never seen chat. So I sat her down next to me. I got OpenAI's ChatGPT going, And I said, well, why don't we have it create a poem from a therapist to a patient helping them heal from trauma. And, you know, it took 20 seconds to write this unbelievable poem. and it by the time she was done reading the poem, she was actually had tears in her eyes. I mean, in 20 seconds, this thing was able to write something that was never written before that brought emotion to someone. And it was because I won't get into all of the AI stuff. I'm an expert on that, but it would take too much of our time. But the point is, maybe you're trying to come up with a way to connect with your grandchild or a son or a daughter. And you could put in the chat, describe them, describe what you're trying to do, describe where you see the friction is, and ask it, what could I do to create a deeper relationship? Whoa, just see what you get. Now, let me tell you right now, you'll get 80% of what you get, no matter what you do, will get you there in 20 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever you're trying to do. But I said not 100%. Think of it as a first draft assistant, not a last draft assistant. There's going to be some errors in there. After all, it learned from the internet, and the internet is loaded with bad stuff in there, but also good stuff. What you want to do is look for the gems, look for the jewels, and you will find them, instead of saying it's all or nothing. And you will find some things that are very, very helpful. So why don't you get it? By the way, once you start playing with it, I strongly suggest paying the $20 a month and getting the better version of it. That way you've got access to the latest, and it gives you the ability to create art. As a matter of fact, let me give you a couple of things you can do with different tools. And I have an AI tools report for those of you in business that may want to download this for free. Let me tell you how to get it first, and I'll give you an example. It's AIStrategyReport.com. AIStrategyReport.com. And it helps for some reason if you make the A and the I in the beginning a small lowercase. And what I did is I've looked at 1,000 tools. Some of them are free, most of them are really inexpensive that do specific things. And I picked the best ones, best top five in categories. All you gotta do is click on one, it'll take you to right where it is. Let me give you an idea of what you can do with it. You can make a slide deck. I got the top five. So if you need to make some slides for something, you can text in what you want it to do. Oh, by the way, I'd like a picture. Tell it what kind of picture you want. It'll make that too. And I'd like a video to show something. It'll make the video for you. You can actually make videos with it. And I got the top five tools. So if you're a business trying to post something on social media, you can type in what you want the person to say. It won't be a person, but it'll look just like a person, talking like a person, by the way, in any language, and have it be your little video. You can make images, pictures of whatever you want. You can make your voice a narrator. As a matter of fact, I have a friend of mine. Let me just tell you a quick story. He was about to have surgery and needed some. He was going to lose his voice for a while, but he needed his voice. And he was not going to be able to have a normal voice for about a month. So he went on one of those tools that I have in this report and made a copy of his voice, and he uses his good voice before the surgery now instead of his voice, so that he can still talk and sound good. There's
that's amazing. That's amazing.
Look, all of this stuff is amazing. It's amazing. Again, you can do bad stuff with it. I choose to do good things with it. I think we should choose to do amazing things with it. Just a few more very quick. If you want to make music, I can make some music for you. I know a retailer that wanted some unique music for their retail outlet. So they typed in what they wanted. It created music. They wanted to make it a little different than what it created. They modified a little bit, ended up with great royalty-free music. It's really good at marketing. Holy cow, it's amazing at marketing. Copy. So if you have to do something to market, put in what you're trying to do, and it's amazing. And another one real quick, code. Amazing at code. You got something to program, it'll write the code for you. Whoa, that could be really great. So Once again, it can get you 80% to what you're trying to do fast, really fast. But the last 20% still needs you, and that's the most important part. Making sure that it's accurate information, making sure it's something that is in your voice, not in AI voice, and humanizing it. And I think you'll find it could be a great tool.
What are some of the things that you shouldn't depend on AI for? You've talked a little bit about it now. It's humanizing it, of course, and some of the inaccuracies.
Yes. But some things that you want to be careful about is putting, if you're using the regular AI or one of those tools, I wouldn't put in any personal information, any financial information. I would not put any company secrets or IP into it because it learns from all that stuff. So, but if I'm writing marketing copy and I'm trying to get people to buy my widget, there's probably nothing in there that I want, that I'm worried about, you know, because I'm trying to sell you something. So there's a lot of these tools that are fantastic that are not going to, you know, take those things. But I will say there is, ChatGPT has an enterprise version that gives you enterprise level security and locks it down. Microsoft has Copilot integrated into their suite, and they have an enterprise version. So if you have a business, a pretty good sized business, you get the enterprise version, and now you can start putting your own things into it and not worry about it. There's one other new thing I'll just share with everybody as a little scoop here. ChatGPT, you can also get something called Teams. And that does give you some really great security around what you're doing with your team. Now, remember I told you, instead of the free version, you should get the $20 a month. Well, if you want the smallest team you can have is two people, it would be $30 a piece for that team of two, 30, 30, and then you could keep adding more people in, but only they have access to the information. Now, I don't want to go any further unless we've got a few minutes, because I know we're on some time.
We do have a few minutes, and if you could just talk with this a little bit about the security that businesses need to have as their salespeople are using AI, what are some of the downsides or things that businesses should be aware of?
Well, first of all, you should have, no matter how big your organization is, and I'm talking about you, Karen, and everyone else out there, you need a AI policy. Here are the things you can do, and here's the things you shouldn't do. As I said already, I don't want you to put a spreadsheet with all of our numbers in it. I don't want you to be sharing information that I wouldn't want anyone in the world to be able to see. So you have to have some guidelines of how to use it. Secondly, I would not have people just post what it does. I would make sure the 80-20 rule. Remember, this can save you a lot of time and make all of my workers far more efficient. But I don't want you to use it all. I still need you to go in, check it, pull out the best parts, and be the human editor to it. All right? Someone asked me in an interview, will humans be replaced by AI? And my answer is humans will be replaced by humans using AI. So eventually, whether you're a plumber or whatever job you've got, you'll have AI helping you do your job better. And I've got a very quick way to understand what I'm talking about. Let's say you know somebody that has cancer. And I'm going to give you three choices. Just AI, by the way, AI knows more about oncology than any living oncologist. It's absorbed all the research, everything that's happened medically and on the world. It knows more about oncology than any doctor. So choice number one, just AI. Choice number two, a really great oncologist that you trust. And the last choice, choice number three, a really great oncologist that has access to AI. Bingo, now you see the future. It's not about getting rid of you. It's about augmenting our thinking and helping us with things that I can't remember, because AI has in its instant recall things that you and I cannot keep in our heads, cannot remember. We haven't read every research study that's on the planet. AI has, but again, who are you going to go to if you're going to a doctor? Do you want to just talk to AI? I don't think so. I think you remember, we live in a human world, not just a technology world. But increasingly, I want a doctor that also has access to AI and any other profession. That's why I'm urging everybody out there, no matter what your age is, and if you're a CEO of a company and you're thinking, well, I've got people that are using this, but I don't need to look at it. Once again, you're making a mistake. You need to get it and try it out so that you even understand the conversation and what can be done.
My guest today is Dan Burris. He is an author, a keynote speaker. He has 7 great books that you can look up and go to Burris, BURRUS.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about cybersecurity and what are some of the things you can do to protect yourself. With that, we will be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you'd like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today, Dan Burris, is, as I've been saying, he is an author. He also is a keynote speaker. You can learn more about what he does, BURRUS.com. He's also, I think, on LinkedIn. Aren't you the number one?
Yeah, one of the top influencers. I got a couple million followers there. And I think the reason is because I share so many good ideas. That's why I've got so many. So join the conversation, link up with me on LinkedIn. I would suggest that would be a good place to go. Secondly, if you're interested in what I've been talking about, my last book, The Anticipatory Organization, has been a bestseller. Go to Amazon and get that. Some of you know I'm a New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestselling author. Flash Foresight was another really great one. So you can find him on Amazon. You can go to Burris.com. Remember, AI Strategy Report, you can download that for free. That will give you case studies of how businesses are even using it if you're a business. Also, I put out a list of the top 25 technologies every year that are shaping the future, and you can download that for free. From Burris.com. So there's a lot of resources for you.
Oh, Dan, you've always been willing to share all of your knowledge. And that has been such a gift, first of all, to me, because you have helped me shape my business, but also for my listeners. And again, we've been talking about a whole lot of stuff, and you said some of it's good, some of it's bad. How do we protect ourselves with cybersecurity? What can we do?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, for your family, I'm talking about everybody in your family. One of the things I would like you to do is to come up with a code word that everybody in the family knows. Why? Well, as I said, we can clone a voice very easily, very easily. As a matter of fact, if people are talking on social media, you can copy the voice off of there. So what are bad guys doing? Well, you could have your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter call you, sounds just like them, saying they're in jail, they need money, and it sounds just like them, and you could be in trouble. Unless you got a family code word. And if you got a family code word, you could say, well, what's the family code word? And if that thing doesn't know, it's not your family. You see what I mean? So there's some simple, by the way, you should all do that like now. Don't wait on that. I mean, I'm giving you a big, personal, powerful tip, because I know people that have lost lots of money. Retirees, Karen. That have lost lots of money, who are smart people, but they lost it anyway because of not doing a couple of these tips. So one of the things that tech companies are doing, I think individuals have to do, and that is, I call it zero trust. Now, if I'm with you personally, I don't have zero trust. I know you and I'm with you personally. Eyeball to eyeball, we're together. But increasingly, because of deep fakes, the ability to make videos of people that are doing and saying things they've never said or done, which is getting easier and easier to do, I want to be careful about what I'm trusting. Is it sound like that person? Does it sound like something that they would say? Or is it very unusual? Maybe I want to give them a call. Now, here's what I'm getting at. You could get an email from your bank asking you to do something, and it looks just like your bank, but it may not be your bank. You may get a phone call from your credit card company, and they know all sorts of stuff, but You know, do you trust that? No, say, look, tell you what, I'm going to call you back using the number on the back of my credit card. That's, I would not trust an incoming call. I would not trust an email by somebody who's wanting my information, right? One other little trick that you can do is if you take the little cursor on your computer or on your smartphone, and you look at that email and you go up and just kind of click by their address. So it might say Bank of America. Just click on there and it'll show you the address of the sender. And you're going to see some addresses that you know are not really Bank of America at all. So again, start with zero trust and double check everything. If you're a business, you want to make sure that you're locked down, because what's happened with this generative AI is it is given the ability for bad guys to do things easy. Do you remember I said a little while ago that you could create, there's an app that I have on that list of tools that can create a website. There's an app that create code. So if I'm a bad guy, I don't have to be a coder. I can use one of those apps to create malicious code without even being a tech guy, and then put it out there to try to hack into things. So the ability to do bad things has grown beyond exponential. Beyond, that's why I want you to start with zero trust and be careful and check everything. And I think what we're going to end up doing is maybe getting a little more interpersonal, meaning as we have so much AI that could copy and cheat on things and make things look like you or look like me, but it isn't me and it isn't you. You know, we may want to just get together eyeball to eyeball a little more often. And I won't call that a hard trend because I don't know if that's for sure. But if I'm having trouble trusting things, the best way I can trust is to be actually with you. And that way I know you're you. And that may be a good thing for us all.
Dan, what are the things that you're looking at with corporations right now, the trends to the future? You've talked about them under this big umbrella, but what are some of the things that businesses are, hurdles that they're facing with AI and with this exponential change and all the things that are happening? I mean, just keeping up with it must be very difficult.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time is keeping up is a fool's game. In other words, what's the advantage of keeping up? You're still going to be keeping up to somebody else that's ahead of you. So if you're in business, I want to jump ahead. The trouble is, how do I jump ahead when the future is completely unknown? And I think that's why I've been in such high demand, because I've come up with this science of certainty, this ability to separate all trends into hard trends that are based on future facts that will happen. Baby boomers will get chronologically older. And what does that mean? Well, we know there's going to be a lot of retirements. As a matter of fact, if you look back at some of my books in the 90s and early 2000s, I was talking about shortages of bus drivers, shortages of nurses, shortages of doctors, shortages of airplane pilots. Why? The baby boomers are going to be retiring. And I was giving out a warning saying, let's be anticipatory. Let's start building up the younger people now that can replace them, because there was a baby bust after the baby boom. There's not as many people. Let's pre-solve that predictable problem. Of course, we didn't, Karen, and we decided to crisis manage. And now, of course, we're faced with all these shortages. If something bad happens, I always like to ask myself, well, what good just happened? When you do that, I call that the law of opposites. And you start seeing things you didn't see before that are very, very helpful. So from a business standpoint, I want you to, again, be anticipatory and not so reactionary. I want you to be able to see, using these hard trends, how to predict problems before they happen and pre-solve them. Let's face it, how many people in this listening right now said to themselves, well, I knew that would happen. And I would say, well, then why did you let it? So let's pre-solve those problems. You can do that. If we're not doing that, you're not going to be happy. Looking at, again, disruptions. What instead of just looking for what we don't like, let's look at what we do like.
My guest today is Dan Burrus, and you can go to his website, B-U-R-R-U-S. He gave you a whole list of things that you can download there. The information is just amazing. Dan, thank you. I love it when you come on because you talk about things that in many ways are unknown, and you bring the topic to the surface and you allow people to see what's happening, but you always have solutions. And I love that about you. Thank you again. I know you'll be back. You've been a friend for years and have helped structure how people think about things in a whole new way. And I really like the idea. You had your other one, Flash Foresight, that book as well. And I love the anticipatory organization because it really helps people to recenter themselves and to move forward in a positive way. And as always, I hope that I made a difference to your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great weekend.